and search and find something. Well, this week I found an example of a treasure hunt, a real treasure hunt online, that was created by a man called Forrest Fenn. He's a longtime adventurer. He's 84 years old. He had a battle with cancer. And after that battle, he decided, I want to do something to get people off their butts, off the couch, away from the TV or the video game or whatever, and into the outdoors. He's an outdoors man. He lives in Texas. And there's the whole western side of the United States that is so incredibly beautiful and powerful. You know, this year marks the 100th anniversary of the national parks, and they've got this incredible movie. And I saw like trailers for it, and the mountains are breathtaking. And so this man, Forrest Fenn, thought, I want to get people into the outdoors. Now, he's very wealthy, so he decided to hide $1 million in the outdoors. And this is for real. You can find it online. You can go and search for it. Some people go, did he really, you know, plant it? But he said that he did. And so he's got this treasure chest, and it's full of gold. Full of gold. He said one gold nugget is the size of an egg. Wow. And it's got jewels in it. It's like a real treasure chest. And he's hidden it somewhere away from view. Now, he's written a poem. And in the poem, there are 9 clues. So if you go online, you can see which sentences people think the 9 clues are embedded in. And then he wrote a book, which was, I think, The Thrill of the Hunt. And it has a map in it. And then every so often he does an interview, and in the interview he'll give a few more clues. So in the latest interview, which was July 2015, he said that it's not in Idaho, it's not in Utah, I think it's not in Kentucky. Like, he gave like 3 places it wasn't. He said it's not in a mine, because he said, I don't want people going into mines. Mines are dangerous places. There are snakes and, you know, black widow spiders and things. He said it's out in the open. After 65,000 emails, he said, actually, several people have come between in like 500 feet of the treasure. And he said, you don't have to dig for it. So I asked Phil yesterday, like, how far is like 500 feet? You know, because I thought, that sounds so close. Why didn't they see it? And he goes, no, it's from our house to the road out the other side. Like, and I go, I guess, you know, you can be 500 feet close, but 500 feet far away. So it's a really, oh, by the way, and the treasure is 5,000 feet above sea level. So it's really exciting, because you think, you know, you could actually go look for treasure. And so I watch these videos on YouTube of people who are searching for treasure, and they've made a video of their search, and they do it as a family. And actually, he said that's one thing that really inspires him when a family writes to him, because he goes, they took their family vacation and decided to look for treasure. And then they didn't find it, and they wrote to him, but he goes, you know what? They found so many other treasures, because together they searched, they went into the wilderness, they camped, they searched, it was fun. And he said the reason that he wanted to create this treasure hunt, because he said, the most valuable things, the most beautiful things in life are hard to find. You have to search for them. And he wanted to express that through something that he could do to help others. So now I've found out about this, I'm going to be watching this treasure hunt. But he said, you know, the most beautiful and the most valuable thing. So it caused me to ask, you know, what is my treasure? What am I searching for? What do I want most in life? And I think there's a universal answer to that. And the divine principle actually opens with this quote. It says, everyone without exception is looking for happiness. And actually the statement goes on and says people are seeking to avoid misfortune. But if you think about it, if I asked everybody in this room, like, what do you want? Nobody would say, well, actually, you know what? I'm not really looking for happiness right now. Nobody would say that. Everyone, without exception, is looking for happiness. That's our treasure. That's what we want to seek and find in the course of our life. Now, in order to find Fenn's treasure, some people have spent weeks and months searching after this treasure. And yet, even though we want this treasure, how much time do we really invest in seeking it? Sometimes not very much time. Are we looking for clues of where to find it? Are we really, like, as serious as some of those people are over this poem? I mean, You see people poring over this poem, and they have debates online about what this clue means, and then they follow the clues, and someone ends up in one state, and somebody else ends up in the other state, and they're both totally convicted they're right. There's so much time and effort. I thought, you know what? I don't put enough time and effort into this. That was my conclusion. If they can pour all their energy in looking for treasure, what am I doing looking for clues, right? So I realized, you know, also we need to get off the couch. But how do we get off the couch? We need to get off the couch and into scripture, into things in our lives that can help us solve this fundamental question about how do we find happiness. You know, I have so many, being a pastor, my house is appalling because like there are so many books. I've run out of bookshelves. I have boxes of books. I loan books. I give books away and still I have more books. Every time before I enter a bookstore, I with Katie the other day, I said, don't let me buy a book, okay? My goal is to get out of the bookstore without a book. I usually fail. But you know, books are precious because they give us something to pore over and find the clues that can enable us to answer this most incredible question. And if you look at the Holy Scriptures, they are like God's poems to us. Fenn wrote a poem, 9 verses long with 9 clues. But God has given us Holy Scripture that we can find the solution, that we can find the treasure that we're seeking. But of course, it takes our effort, right? So people throughout history have searched for ways to discover God. At the time of Jesus, it was common for rabbis to interpret scripture. So now what we have is known as the Old Testament, but there are like so many other documents that they pored over and researched and studied. And each rabbi had their own interpretation, which is a little interesting because it's slightly different from, say, the Christian tradition, but each rabbi was an authority and he would say, this is how I see it and this is how we should live out, you know, this scripture. And it was referred to, interestingly enough, as a rabbi's yoke. So I thought, rabbi's yoke? But don't forget, it was an agricultural society. And so the yoke of an animal in the field, they have this kind of circular yoke that goes around them. But it's the yoke that really guides them where to go to plow the fields. And so the interpretation, the teaching that each rabbi had was referred to as the rabbi's yoke, right? So it wasn't uncommon for a rabbi to say to people, here is my yoke. In other words, here's my guidance. Please follow it. And when I studied about that, I realized, oh my gosh, that explains a whole verse in the Bible. When I first read it, I was like, what the heck does that mean? So I want to share that with you today. Because Jesus said, take my yoke upon you. And I remember when I first read that verse, I was like, that's weird. Go over that one quickly. See what happens when we meet something we don't understand, like a clue? The tendency is to go, okay, move on. You move on to the next verse. You don't really like delve into it. But Jesus said, take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you because I am humble and gentle at heart and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear and the burden I give you is light. Now, if you understand this quote in the context of all the other rabbis, because there were hundreds of rabbis teaching at that time, and they go, here's my yoke, you have to do this, 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 you know. Maybe some of them seemed hard. But Jesus emphasized, you know, I am humble and gentle at heart. Don't be afraid of my yoke. You will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy to bear. And I thought, why is the yoke that Jesus offered as a rabbi at that time easy to bear? And I realized it's because he paid the price. He paid the price for us. So that's why his yoke is easy to bear. He's saying, let me guide you. Let me help you find the path to happiness, the path to true love, to everything you want. Don't be afraid to put on my yoke. Because, you know, if you approach an animal with a saddle or a yoke, what do? They try to get away. Nobody likes to be yoked. You know, if I said to you today, okay, I'm a yoke, would you like to be yoked? No, you don't want to be yoked because you want to be free. But Jesus tries to encourage people. He says, don't be afraid to be yoked, because actually my yoke is easy to bear and the burden I give you will be light. But if you follow this path, you will find true freedom. That's why it's easy to bear, because he's trying to offer us the freedom that we've always wanted. Next to happiness, what do people want? They want to be free. Well, they're kind of like all rolled up into the same thing, because you can't be happy if you don't have freedom. This is really like a beautiful explanation of like Jesus' teaching. Jesus was so profound and deep, right? So he's offering us true freedom. And he said that my yoke is light, because what is he doing? He's liberating us from the sin, from the serfdom of sin. Because if you think about it, what does sin represent for you in your life? It's a heavy burden. Like, I don't want to be burdened by all my fallen nature. Every time I meet it, I'm like, ah, you know? I want to get rid of that. And Jesus is saying, take on my yoke, because I'm going to help you be liberated from the serfdom of sin to find freedom and to find happiness. You know, it's really exciting when you come to realize a verse like this. It's like you find the treasure in it. Because honestly, the first time I read that, I thought, like, I wish I could understand that. Move on. That was like years ago. But then I found a treasure within it, like a light bulb went off for me. And that's what God wants for each and every one of us in our life of faith. You know, you come here on Sunday, but God's hoping like all week long you have like amazing insights, that you come alive because you can have a living relationship with God and you go like, dang it, that's true. Like, I understand that now. Or you have an experience where you could love in a way you couldn't love before. Or you manage to like hold your tongue or hold your temper or whatever it is, so that you're not like just having to bear the burden of serfdom of sin, as it were, right? So for thousands of years, people have wondered how to find happiness and what our purpose is in life. And just like Finn's poem, there's a clue hidden in Genesis about that. And I know that probably some of you know that clue because I've talked about it before, but it's in Genesis 1:28. And that clue is, be fruitful, multiply, and have dominion. But if you read all of Genesis 1, there are so many sentences there. There are sentences before this, there are sentences after this. You could easily read this one sentence and go, brrr, and you move on. And you don't capture what this is truly about, which is actually very, very profound. Just like you can read Penn's 9-verse poem, and there's a clue that will lead you to the treasure, and you go over it because you don't understand it. That's what this sentence, Genesis 1:28, is like. There's like a universe of understanding in this one sentence. And that's why it's worth investing, you know, time and effort to try and solve the riddle of this one sentence. You know, in the divine principle, in one sense, is an exposition on this simple yoke. This is like a yoke. And the whole divine principle is an exposition on this one yoke, and I'm going to share about that in a minute. When we were at Camp Aurora a number of years ago, we asked the kids, if you could encapsulate all of the divine principle into one sentence, into one word, what would that one word be? So the kids had to go off in groups, they had to think about it, they were meant to come back later on in the day and tell us what their one word is. So, of course, the word love came up, right? That's predictable. So, like, some kids said, well, if you had to, like, boil down divine principle into one word, it would be love. And then, you know, different people had different things. But actually, the one word that everyone in the end decided on collectively, yeah, this is the one word that defines the whole divine principle and the Bible. And that one word is the word relationship. So think about that for a minute. If you think about it, in the principle of creation, which is the opening of the divine principle, which is an exposition on the Bible, the principle of creation talks about our relationship with God. What would it be like, ideally, if the fall had never happened? What would our relationship with God be? What's our relationship to other people? You know, what do we want to do? Be fruitful. We want to grow to maturity, right? We want to become mature human beings whose ideals and actions match. There's nothing more infuriating when people speak big ideals and then their actions down here. There's a disconnect. And that happens all the time in our lives. And sometimes, especially on big, spectacular people in the media, it happens in really big ways, right? But what does God want? Us to be fruitful, to have maturity, to have a unity of our ideals and actions. And then only based on that is to multiply, to create a beautiful family, a beautiful society, nation, and world that reflects that. And then because of who we are, we can have dominion, not dominion of power, which is what typically happens, but dominion of love, because you're this kind of person. So you naturally want to take care of the creation with love, not with power. So the principle of creation describes this in depth and in detail and takes this one yoke and says, there's so much behind this, there's so much treasure. And then if you think about it, the word relationship, what is the section on the fall of man about? It's about how relationships got corrupted, how love became corrupted. And because love became corrupted, it was handed down generation to generation. But the third part of the divine principle, the principle of restoration, is about how we are restored and remade and recreated through relationship. This is why we need the Messiah. This is the relationship that we're looking for. But even before we can make that relationship, we have to make a relationship to recreate what went wrong in the garden between Cain and Abel. So the word relationship really encompasses all of these things. That was very, very revealing for us, right? So God wants an individual relationship with each one of us. And just as he revealed these things to Jesus, God will reveal these things to you. So I really want that this week that you feel like God speaks to you. Because God can speak to you. God will speak to you. But it's like you have to be open to hear it. Like I read that 9-verse poem of Fenn's and I'm like, I'm not very good at riddles. Like if someone gives me a riddle, I shut down emotionally. I just go, You know, I'm no good at, what are those mathematical things that you solve? Sudokus, right? My husband sits in a chair and does a Sudoku every day, and I go like, why are you doing that? Because I don't have the patience to solve it, you know? So give me a riddle, and I'm like, no, right? But actually, God has given us so much wisdom in Scripture if we can just go deeper and try to understand it. So I want you to try and take something this week and discover something. You know, go after the thrill of the chase. God will reveal things to you. And if you pay attention, you'll receive an answer to a question you asked a long time ago. And then you'll go like, oh my God, that's an answer to that question. So never be afraid to ask. Actually, next month I'm going to do a series on prayer. And many times when we're praying, we're just like, I'm praying for this. It's almost like by force of will, I will make this happen. But prayer is a partnership with God, and I'll be discussing that next month. So this month, I want you to ask questions. Ask questions of God so that God can speak to you. I found a treasure this week in one of Father Moon's sermons. Would you like to see what treasure I found? I think it's a really cool treasure. In a sermon, he said, when you die, you have to take three accomplishments with you. So, listen up, folks. This is handy information. But you loved God. What is your life about that you learn to love God? It's easy to put God aside because you go to work, you go to school, you're busy, you have to repair the house, you have to repair your car. It is so easy to make that at the bottom of your agenda. I know that's true because I've done it, you know? But what should be the top of your agenda? That you love God. If you have questions about God or you find something hard to believe, search deeper for that treasure because you need to take that with you, that you love God. God is wanting a relationship with you. Secondly, I love this, that you loved yourself and worked hard to manifest your essential self. So when we think of religion, people think, oh, it's all about sacrifice. Don't think I want that, enough sacrifice. But it's not. What's the essential thing? God wants you to love God, but you have to love yourself. Because if you can't love yourself, you've nothing to give other people. And you should love yourself because you are lovable and worthy and God loves you. So love yourself and work hard to manifest your essential self. Because each person has so much potential in them, and it's a shame at the end of your life if you haven't manifested all of your essential self. So everyone's different, but find out who you are and what you can contribute. And secondly, that you worked hard to, thirdly, you worked hard to expand the love you share with your spouse and family to the entire world. Because we have a responsibility to expand and to give to other people. Like, we have this beautiful treasure. There's nothing worse than a rich person who just is like, not sharing anything. They're just guarding their treasure, you know, in the bank or wherever they put it. And they've no heart to share it because they just want to guard their treasure. But God is saying, your treasure is your family, the love that you have there. Just share it. Share it with the entire world. So I'm taking a class right now with the Unification Theological Seminary, and in one of the things we read, this came up, and I just thought, this is so beautiful and profound and deep. So now, you don't get to just be passive here. I'm going to ask you a question, okay? What's your treasure? I want to ask, what wisdom have you uncovered at some point that you know to be true? Because each and every person in this room, we think, oh, God speaks to, like, the Pope, I guess, or, you know, maybe the Dalai Lama or whomever. But actually, God speaks to each one of us, but many times we don't recognize it or acknowledge it or think about it. So we're just going to do a little pair share. So, like, find someone you can talk to. I don't know whether, Ben, you want to go back and talk to Billy. You can move around the room if you want. But I'll talk to the person next to you. And just for 5 minutes, just say, what wisdom have you uncovered in your life that you know to be true? Because there is incredible treasure already in your own heart. So let's just take a few minutes to discuss that.
It's very simple. I thought of it right away. It's very simple. And you'll like it.
I gotta hear this one.
Being right is not as important as having a heart.
Finally! Finally!
That was mean.
Well, that's the final test to
that's
see
right.
if you really. There's always a little test of money, little turtle doves, slice of dice.
That's you
and
get it. It.
From when did it happen to
you?
You
get it. Because of Sandra.
His research is just like last week.
Well, no, you too, but because of Sandra, my minister friend. I have to sit and
that
a
will
of,
make sense all that.
And just absorb it and just try to love her and keep a relationship regardless of her views.
Yeah.
You know, she's obviously trying to convert me and doesn't understand how I can be a moody But I realized, you know, as I'm listening to her, you know, it has no value to argue some little theological point. You know, it's the way she sees it, it's the way she has it. That's her relationship with God, and that's all her whole reality. And, you know, God loves her. She has the absolute perfect theology.
Oh, I'm so glad. Hey, did you write this down? I want it in sandstone. Framed sandstone. Not framed sandstone. On the wall.
Good.
I thought there's so many, but you know, I'm going to actually multiply your reflections on the Father's. That is actually more because I feel like that just covered what I've discovered those truths myself independently of Father. And very early on, I realized. Yes, you believe in God, you believe in God, at one point, God told me, you just say, I'm accepting you. I said, what do you do? That's what he wanted to talk about. I went to a personal experience. You are jealous, I could feel it. And I said, I hear you. But anyway, each one of those points, I'm not really into that sacrifice. I have got a lot of sacrifice, but I don't get groove on sacrifice. I have a life on it. I'm just going to roll over and die. The reason I'm here literally right now is for a 2 birthdays and a wedding. Make sure everything's okay, and then I'm off to Oceania the Mongol.
Just read the
I have three crazy issues I have to take care of.
You took the entire world very literally.
Yes. We've always taken that literally.
Take a few minutes, a couple of minutes to wrap up your conversation.
Okay.
Does anyone want to share something that they discovered?
Really locked in. Cheryl has something to share.
No, you don't do it like that.
Stop.
I got your back, Cheryl.
Very diplomatically handled.
Does anybody want to share anything? Yes, Ken. Why don't you come up and share?
Interestingly, it's. I dug around and I came right back to the little thing that I mentioned before I introduced Pastor Heather, which is that love is greater and more powerful than knowledge, money, or wealth, and power. And the reason that this is very personal to me is that... No, that's fine right there. Is that in my business life, I've been around a lot of people with PhDs, a lot of people who have power, who love their power, and a lot of people with money, a lot of money, who love their money. And money and power seem to be kind of the obvious ones that would not be as good as love. But some people think that their knowledge, kind of the philosophers and intellectuals think that they're even greater than God, or their knowledge allows them to eliminate the notion of God from their life. So when I meet people who have lots of love, but they're not particularly intellectual or rich or powerful, they're just far greater than anybody else that I've met that has the other three. So that for me, that's just like so obvious.
Thank you. That's a great treasure. I will share one insight. I asked this question of Dr. Hendricks, who's the professor at the seminary,
And I thought, you know, if I ask a theologian, I'm going to get a really biblical answer. That's appropriate, right? So I asked him, and actually he surprised me, because his answer had nothing to do with the Bible, but at the same time it had everything to do with the Bible and the divine principle. It was kind of like a grand finale of sorts. And he said, "My treasure is my wife." Wow. And I thought that was so beautiful. But because he's a theologian, he went on to give me the Bible verse that went with that. And so the Bible verse that goes with that is, "Haven't you read the scriptures?" Jesus replied, "They record that from the beginning God made them male and female, and he said, this explains why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one." So it's kind of like you look for your treasure, you look for your counterpart, you look for your other part, you look for your soulmate. Because actually there's something in you that drives that, because you're seeking your treasure. So I thought that was so beautiful. And then he went on to give a quote from one of Reverend Moon's sermons, and he said, "Through true love, we can be together eternally, see each other eternally, converse with and feel each other eternally, and have nothing except affection for each other. Immersed in true love," I love this, "the mere wink of an eye can be sufficient to bring forth a joy so great as to shake heaven and earth. A single smile can make one feel superhuman power." Amen. You know, when you love someone and they love you and you have that kind of interaction, you know, we're all meant to be, you know, superhero figures, because we are. But how do we find that? By finding our treasure and the person that we love. So that's right. So this week, I really want you to think about this. You know, Reverend Moon, his truth was the recovery of true love. And I think there is no greater treasure than that. But really believe in yourself and believe in your power this week to find your treasure. Please join me in prayer. Our loving Heavenly Parent, thank you so much for being in our lives. That even though, because of the veil of the fall upon our beings, we don't always see you, we don't always hear you, we don't always feel you. But you leave a trail of clues for us to follow, so that we can find the treasure and the happiness that we seek in our life. Please bless each and every brother and sister who's here today. Bless them abundantly, and let them find what they are looking for they yearn for you, and they yearn for a relationship with you. We thank you so much. We want to offer ourselves to you this morning. I pray this in the names of all the beautiful, blessed families gathered here today. Amen. And amen. Achoo. Achoo. Okay. So let's just take a moment of time to pray. And just take a few moments to pray about what you're searching for. And see if God can't answer that prayer.
sisters, for your offering that, you know, really support our ministry and help us reach out and have an impact here in New Hampshire. So thank you.